Say, as the word of God is coming forth this evening, it is entering into my heart. It is giving me light. It is correcting my errors. It is instructing me in righteousness. It is giving me direction in life and making me more like the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. The book of Revelation, chapter 17. We just want to read this one again because we read it last time. I will not explain it in details like I did. If you were not around last time, please try and listen to the message just to make a statement based upon this. It said, "The 10 horns which you saw," that's from verse 12, "are 10 kings which have not yet received the kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful." Just one statement I want to bring up from this point, and that is the fact that when the Lord Jesus is going into battle against the beast, which is using the authorities of the 10 kings that was given to him, all right? The Lord is also using the authority of his own kings and his own lords. And these are the people that ride into battle with him. And he said, these are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. The point we made from there is the fact that these are not three different classes of people, but one person, that is the people are those who have passed through the stage of being called, the stage of being chosen, and the stage of being declared faithful. These are the people that are able to go into battle with the Lord, that is, on his side. Now, the emphasis here is that the Lord Jesus doesn't just win the battle because he's all-powerful. He wins every battle in life because the appropriate people are with him. That is the emphasis. Let's not ever get into our minds that God will do what he wants to do when he wants to do it, no matter whether he finds somebody to do it with or not. It is not true. He wanted to take the people of Israel into the promised land. They refused to walk with him. Even though he had the power to take them in a day, they never got him. All right, that generation. In that whole generation, just Joshua and Caleb, even though God had all the power, don't assume, I'm trying to bring out something to us again. Don't assume that God will just do what he wants to do, no matter how you and I behave. I'm emphasizing that God cannot, the word is cannot, do things on the earth except the people available to do it through and with are there. And that is why he raises an army. That is, he doesn't just command them to be. He has to raise them. He has to recruit them. He has to train them. He has to test them before he's released into battle. It is not as if he couldn't do it otherwise, but I don't know why he has chosen it to be like this. And he gave us like that in the scriptures. He said, "The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men." And that's just the way it is. So let's bear that in mind. Now, let's pick up from that particular point. And I just want to bring out two issues here. That's what we introduced last time, talking about the increase of the kingdom of God on the earth. Where I'm going actually is to let us understand that God cannot cause his kingdom on the earth to increase except people are ready to walk with him in that area, yes, in that endeavor, all right? In that plan of his, yes, that's the word, in that plan. Except you and I walk with him. What happens? Let me say it again. When he doesn't find anybody who will be willing to walk with him, he destroys that generation and starts to raise another generation. Do you get the point I'm making? Another thing I should say, and that's actually my message for today, all right? The Bible says, the one that endures to the end that will be saved. That is a matter of fact. Many people start with the Lord and they get tired like Demas. That is actually what I'm preaching today. You start, please, you finish. Are you getting my point? You start, you must do what? You must finish. Many people start. The fact is that it is he that endures to the end. Christians must recognize that their endurance is part of the faith. I like one thing David Paulson said, that Jesus did not say, whoever believes is saved. He said, we have eternal life. That what Jesus said is that whoever keeps on believing will keep on having. That's the literal Hebrew Greek. The literal Greek is a continuous tense. It is not as if I believed 15 years ago, now I have eternal life. No, I believe today and I have eternal life today. That doesn't carry into tomorrow. Tomorrow I must continue to believe if the eternal life will continue to be active. If I stop believing tomorrow, I lose the eternal life I have. Why? Because eternal life is in the Son. It is the fellow that is constantly connected to Him that continues to receive it. That is why God said, if his soul shall draw back, that is, if he shall draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. That it is possible for somebody to start and then draw back. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is my message for today, but we'll get into it in a moment. The Lord is good. All right, so we're talking about the increase of his kingdom, and I'm emphasizing to us that nothing can be done by God in that area except you and I cooperate with him. You must understand, we are as crucial, I need to make that statement, we are as crucial as the power of God for the kingdom of God to advance on the earth. The power of God cannot cause the advancement of his kingdom except that power first works inside certain people. It is working through them that the kingdom advances. What am I going to say? You and I can agree, not just the two of us, if everybody on the earth agrees that the kingdom of God will not advance, you know what it means? It will not advance. It sounds funny. You say, God will just make it advance. No. The only thing he can do is to kill everybody. And then raise another generation that will say the kingdom will advance. That's why I wrote an article some time ago, a teaching, which I titled The Limits of God. You can go and download it on our website. The Limits of God. That the working of God on the earth is limited by what human beings are able to allow him to do. What we believe, how we think, how we act is important to the plan of God on this earth. That's just what I'm trying to emphasize again. If we believe what is wrong, it makes it hard for God to do what he wants to do on the earth. Let me take an example. One of the things, and I'm going to talk about that, all right? What Satan tries to do actually is to pollute people. I'll get to that in a moment, to pollute things. That's what he tries to do. But let me just quickly, before I get into explain that in details, let me give an example of what I was trying to say earlier. Take a country like Nigeria now, all right? You know, there's been a lot of, for those of us who are from the south, we hear a lot of stories of what happens in the north, all right? We hear all those things. And generally, what that does is to generate anger towards the northerner. That's what it does. What that does generally is to generate anger towards the northern Muslim especially. Now, the last elections that held in Nigeria, the one that our current president won, most people that did not vote for Muhammadu Buhari, our current president, the major reason they didn't vote for him is that he's a northern Muslim. Now, they have nothing against him as an individual, really much, all right? The fact is that they just hate what he represents in their minds. Yeah. That's a matter of fact. I saw a clip done by Pastor Tunde Bakare to talk about the head of state, that is, who's now the president, all right? I saw it just last week. If I'd seen that thing before the election, I can assure you of one thing, I would have voted for him. Because I had many things that I did not like about the last president, simply because he behaved like Eli. Nobody ever accused him of corruption. Go and check. Nobody, one day, accused him of stealing money. But then, he allowed all kinds of things to go on. You know what I call it? Eli phenomenon. Yes. Everything went on and he was not, you know, he wasn't putting his foot down against some things that were wrong in the society. All right? So, a lot of people were, in fact, one of our brothers said he didn't like Buhari, but he will never reward Goodluck Jonathan with his vote for the kind of things he's doing. So, the day of election, he sat at home. That was his own attitude. Now, this is what I'm going to explain. You find out that, okay, I was telling you about a video clip I saw, right? If I had seen that video clip before the election, I'm telling you, I would have voted for Buhari. It was done by Pastor Tunde Bakare. And what did he do? He tried to correct the impression that people had that the head of state, this current one now, is anti-Christian and is an Islamic fundamentalist. I said, if I had seen this clip before the election, my vote just changed. He said many things. I think the thing should be on YouTube, should be somewhere. I got it recently. Now, I'm not, of course, he has won the election. I'm not campaigning for him. Do you understand? But I'm trying to bring out an issue. It's something struck me that even me, anger, are you getting my point? Animosity that has been generated for certain reasons. You can't, unless God, that's why David said, search me, O Lord. Except God searches you, you just be going and you think you are being reasonable. You are not being reasonable. Something is pushing you. Now, this is what I'm talking about that. If that thing is in you, your prayers for the evangelization of Northern Nigeria is zero. That's what I'm getting to. No, I don't care whether Boko Haram killed your uncle, your father, your whoever it is. I don't care how you've been injured by riots in the north over the years, religious riots. Until God heals you of that anger, you can't pray for them. You just can't. Look, don't stop going to church to pray about things you really are not, you don't believe. I'm talking about the limits of God, how we limit God. So God can say, all right, I want the gospel to spread in this area. So the first thing he does is to raise people to pray about it. That's just the way it works. I can't go into details about why now, but that's the way it works. People start praying. Sometimes they pray for generations until the cup is full, until the appropriate amount of spiritual energy is generated. Nothing happens. Now, if God is trying to raise the people who will pray, what Satan tries to do is to pollute them and prevent them from praying. Our number one way by which Satan makes sure you can't pray effectively for anybody who you are connected with is to create offense. If I don't know any other way by which he does it, you just get angry. It can be your brother, it can be your sister. Till now, you are angry. Why? The time you needed him the most, he didn't come through. So till now you are angry. For that reason, your prayer is not effective. It's as if you are just, when it's time to pray, let us pray for our brothers that they will be saved. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. What above the world so high? You know, do you understand my point? That's all you are doing. Why? Because of what? Anger. As I'm going on, I'll talk about pollution. Once Satan can get you to be angry, he has, that is, he's not afraid. Speak all the tongues you want. It has no effect. He said the Holy Spirit is helping me with my infirmity. The only help Holy Spirit can help is to ensure that he reopens to you your anger so you confess it. Until he removes that thing from you, you're just wasting time. I used to read, I've read a number of Ed Cole's books. And Ed Cole used to talk about the spelling of release. And he said release is spelled forgiveness. What was he talking about, release? That, do you know it is possible for you to bind a human being? Again, we can't go into details about it. In a country like ours, a lot of southern Christians, even northern Christians, their prayers are not effective concerning the preaching of the gospel because Satan has managed to get them angry. They will talk about being minorities in states, maybe Adamawa, Bauchi areas, or even sometimes they are actually not minorities. But then how? Because the central government has been Islamic, all right, by Muslims. They've been downtrodden for a long time. They pass this anger on to generations after them. They spread it down through Facebook, YouTube, WhatsApp. Everybody reads it, and we're all boiling with anger. Get up, pray, it's boiling, movie is burning, Christians have been killed, they have been killed. And they will now go to churches where the only way they know how to treat enemies is fire them. Lord, all those who are Christian, let them die. Holy Ghost fire, some and all, scatter. Hey, oh. Totally unscriptural ways of praying. So by the time you see the stories, you are angry. And that anger ensures that your intercession is zero. You can't pray effectively again. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. That's easy. Obeying God has never been easy. I heard the story of Corrie ten Boom. Was in the concentration camps, but she still had to forgive. I hope you're getting my point. Without that forgiveness, the fellow, your prayer is not working. Now, I'm trying to bring an issue. So, you find that a lot of things we're actually wishing for in a country like ours, our spirits have bound those things that they can't happen. Until we collectively forgive. I was listening to a message this afternoon, and the man of God said that, I'm not saying I totally agree with his interpretation, but it was interesting, that when Jesus said, stop kicking against the pricks, that is, to Paul, then it was Saul, that thing started in him when he supervised the stoning to death of Stephen. And then Stephen said, of course, he opened his eyes and said, I see the Lord standing on the right hand of, you know, and all of that. And as the last thing, amongst the last things he said is, one of them was, don't hold this sin against them. And I said, into your hand I commit my spirit. And the man now died. He said, from that day, the thing began to prick Saul. So that's why Jesus came and said, stop kicking against the thing that's pricking you in the heart. You have to believe. Like I said, I'm not saying that's exactly how the Bible says, but I like his, it's an interesting interpretation. That the attitude of Stephen got Saul ready for salvation. We should learn something from Stephen. We should learn something from him. If we all gather, and you know, like I said before, Christians often condemn whole states in Nigeria, especially southern Christians. They condemn a whole state. Just make up their mind that you see this Borno state, cut it off and burn everything there. As if that will give us what? Peace. Listen to me, it doesn't work like that. What did I say? Say it louder. It doesn't work like that. What's my emphasis? Don't expect that all those regions in Nigeria will suddenly be evangelized, except God can raise intercessors that are not angry. They are only angry against the devil. They are angry about injustice, but they are not angry about Fulani headsmen, you know, northern Muslims. They are not. They have directed their anger against the principalities and powers. They have understood that the battle is not against flesh and blood. Until you get to that point, forget it. Until you get to that point, the Lord cannot, I didn't say will not, he cannot do anything. A lot of Christians don't realize, when you use terms like that, I said, is there something God can do? You know, that's the joke. He told my son, fill in the blank, the Lord is slow to dash and abundant in loving kindness. My victory thought said, the Lord is slow to nothing. And you should have seen his face. It was matter of fact, like, the Lord is slow to something? No. The Lord is not slow to anything. I mean, it was such a funny joke. Of course, you know the scripture is supposed to be, the Lord is slow to anger. He said, the Lord is slow to nothing. And because that's the concept of God. That's how he understands the Lord. That there's nothing he wants to do he can't do. Sometimes many of us will have that childish concept of God. And we think it's a sign of spirituality and deep understanding. It is not. Listen to me. There are many things God wants to do, but he can't do. You say, what does that mean? I'll tell you. Simply because before he started, he first said, okay, you, Chris, hold this one. And once he says, Chris, hold that one, he said, hold this one. And until he collected back, maybe if he says, hold it for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, he can't use it until Chris says, take and use. That's the meaning of the sovereignty of God. Because that's not exactly what I'm teaching. I don't want to go through the scriptures. I will have shown you. God said, there was a time I did not want to punish people. So I began to look for what? An intercessor. So what happened? What happened? He didn't find. And because of that, he did what he did not want to do. That's scripture for you. Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, what did I desire? I desire to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks. He said, but what happened? You don't want it. For that reason, your house is left to you desolate. That's not what I want. But that is what you have allowed and created. That is, you can limit what God wants to do, one in your life, and collectively, we can do it on the earth. Please bear it in mind, though. You know one of the reasons I'm saying so? Take a country like ours. We've been praying and praying and praying and praying. And do you know that from the first day you pray and you reach a particular point, God answers and then releases an angel that takes him 21 days to get to where he's going? 21 days. What was he doing on the way? A prince of Persia was preventing him from arriving, all right? Then 21 days after he left, God now sent Michael. Have you ever asked yourself, was it that God was busy solving the problem in South Africa? He did not know that the angel he sent to Iraq has not reached there. Was it that he was so busy with the problem in the United States, he did not know that the angel he sent to Iraq, which is Babylon, all right, hadn't reached there? Why did it take him 21 days? That's a question that I don't have time to answer now. But there's a reason. It's not as if the Lord did not know what was going on. The 21 days delay had an explanation. And one of the explanations, again, which I don't have time to explain right now, is what empowered the prince of Persia to be so strong to withstand that angel. Secondly, did God not know that the angel was on the way? That the prince of Persia was on the way when he sent an angel that was not armed and was not guarded? I don't know whether you're getting my point. These are things that should set your mind thinking. I'll explain a bit of the principle. Because these spiritual kingdoms reign over earthly kingdoms. And those kingdoms have rules and regulations. And because he is God, doesn't mean he just breaks those rules and regulations. He created them. One of the things was that there had to be enough, another type of intercession, rising up to the throne of God for the release of Michael. Listen to me. The only fellow you know about is Daniel. I have a suspicion he was not the only one praying. That's one. Number two, the words that he used from that after that first day may possibly have been instrumental in getting Michael released. What am I trying to emphasize? Don't just think God does anything he wants to do anytime. The reason why he removed you from wherever you are to bring you here this evening is to let you know that without you, tell your neighbor, you, he's talking about you. Tell the fellow he's talking about you. That without you, many things you prayed for will not get done. That's why we started by explaining. That's why he has to raise an army that can walk with him. The problem is that Christians don't realize it. They think all they need to do is go and pray, pray, pray. Once they finish praying, they live any carelessly, anyhow. Like we talked about the other day, they don't know they are supposed to endure hardship. And that's part of the redemptive process that God has for their country, for their families, for their nation. Are you getting my point? For their lives. Many times they behave like that, like Demas. Why are you living here? The money is better there. Not realizing that the prayers they prayed for 10 years, the answer just ended. Look, listen to me. The first day Daniel spoke, God heard him. He released an angel without security guards, knowing that this angel will not reach where he's going. Yet he allowed the angel to be going by himself. First day of fighting, reconnaissance report showed that the angel had not reached the place. What happened? Michael was busy somewhere else. Second week of fighting, the angel had not reached. The Lord did nothing. Why did it take him so long? That's what I'm trying. I want you to be it in mind. So before you start thinking that God just does anything anyhow, the way he likes it. He has set an order by which things must be done. And that order involves you and involves me. I hope you have gotten my point. This is the point. You are important. Tell your neighbor, I am important.
I am important.
The word important is not good enough. Say, I am crucial.
I
was just reinforcing that point that we are all important. You are important. I am important. Now, let's now read the next scripture. The one we all know very well. The book of Matthew chapter 5. Don't bother opening to it. I just want to save time. You know that Jesus explained that you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. That's in verse 14, verse 13. We'll not read it now so as to save our time. What is salt used for? You will find that in the book of Luke chapter 14. Jesus said, if the salt has lost its saltness, it's no longer good for the soil, that is to use to fertilize the earth, or for the dunghill. What's that dunghill? It's supposed to be used to prevent the spread of decay. Do you understand? To prevent infections from spreading. Those are the two things that the salt was used for. Okay? Now, he now said this salt, if it has lost its saltness, it can no longer do those things. Now, those things are very important, all right, for us to bear in mind. Now, let me go, you know, last time, if you remember, last time I said there are two things that we do, having reestablished the fact that we are very crucial in what God is doing, there are two ways by which we get involved in the spread of the kingdom of God on the earth. I said one pathway is active and the other one is passive. What do you mean by when we say it is active? For example, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. You understand? Make disciples. That is active. You are going out there. You are ensuring that people hear the truth of the gospel of God. You are teaching people how to live. You are showing them the pathway of righteousness. That is, you are actively promoting it. Sometimes what God gives you as part of your assignment on the earth is to physically get involved in liberation, as an example, of Israel. What I mean is this. Daniel was praying spiritually, but then a man was sent to go and physically liberate the people. Sometimes that is your own responsibility. God places you in a place and says, okay, put order into the education system. He puts it there and says, put order into the business world. He puts it somewhere and says, put order. Let's assume now in your family. God says, all right, go in. And you're a mother, you're a father. Teach other people the kingdom principles of life by which they are going to live. Remember, that was exactly what he did there with Abraham. He said, I have chosen him, saying that he will instruct his household, all right, his children and his household after him, concerning the will of the Lord in how to do righteousness and justice. Those two things are important. They must learn righteousness. They must learn how to do justice. So these things are active ways by which each individual is participating in the spread of the gospel of God. And I will get to it later. But the passive way is what I want to talk about first. All right? We introduced it last time. What is the passive way? That just by being there, just by being present, all right, your person is radiating spiritual influence into the environment, which prevents the spread of unrighteousness, which prevents the spread of decay. Now, the way I like to explain that is a story we all know. I will not bother opening to it. It's a story of Sodom and Gomorrah, when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember the story? On the way, he met whom? Abraham. And Abraham began to intercede when he found out, when the Lord says, what am I going to do? That is, will I do this thing and not tell my friend Abraham, the one I referred to just a few seconds ago. Now, Abraham now began to intercede. Now, remember the intercession. Let's go over that intercession. Is that from what? 50, yes. Now, where did he stop? 10. He stopped at 10. That is, kept on reducing it. We don't want to go into details. He first said, Lord, please, don't be angry. Let me just push it a bit further. Then finally, he got to number 10 and stopped. Now, you must understand, when we're talking about the book of Genesis, then expanding the scriptures, the book of Genesis, I explained that the Bible is very small. You know, it's not as big as a typical medical textbook you find out there. You get what I'm trying to say? One of the specialty textbooks. Many of you have books that are bigger than the Bible. You have a whole book. It's talking about the cell. I've seen a book on the cell, and it's this fat. The whole Bible is not even as big as that. Yes, the Bible talks about the cell. I hope you know. It talks about the nucleus. It explains about physics. Chemistry is there. Geography. History. Astronomy is there. It now goes beyond that and goes into the spiritual level. The one that no scientific book It's been written on. And everything in those 66 books that you are seeing. For that reason, God has to be very concise. He makes a simple point, and then he leaves you to go and meditate. The Holy Spirit will tell you the rest. When the time reaches. When Abraham stopped at number 10, I'm going to make an issue here. We don't know whether he didn't ask for 5 and the Lord refused. We have this impression that everything you say, God always agrees. That's the wrong concept of God that Christians, especially Pentecostals who learn the word of faith, that's the concept they have. I actually heard the word of faith people say that God never says no. How did I even believe that? How can God never say no? What kind of father never says no? Of course God says no. He said the answer to prayer is always yes. It's a lie. Moses said, God, let me enter the promised land. God said no. Who says God never says no? Where did we get that impression from? For God never to tell you no, you must be of infinite wisdom, which means you never ask for anything wrong. If the Lord loves you and you ask for a foolish thing, his answer is no. Did you hear what I said? The only thing he says yes to, and he doesn't change his mind, is the thing he has said yes to, and it's clearly written. Let me not even go into that. I have a suspicion that Abraham actually said, Lord, can we have 5? And God said, if I accept 5, you won't survive. Oh. Their decadence will soon spread to you. They will pollute the land so bad, I will have to spoil everything. Let me just take them out alone. It's possible the Lord said that. We have no records of it. But Oswald Chambers said, he believes that the Holy Spirit, that's Oswald Chambers' opinion, did not allow Abraham to ask for less than 10. He calls it the restraining power of the Spirit. He said the reason was because less than 10 wouldn't cut it. So the Holy Spirit just couldn't say, Abraham, you reach 10, stop. I can adapt that to say the Lord was there. The Lord said, Abraham, that 10, don't go beyond it. That's the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. All of them is the same thing. That also, the Lord is the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. What is my point there? If they have found those 10 people, Sodom and Gomorrah would have been spared. True or false? Yeah, we know that because that's what the Lord promised. They did not find those 10. For that reason, the whole place was destroyed. If the 10 had been found, their name would have been the salt of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you get the concept? If you found those 10 people, their name would have been the salt of Sodom and Gomorrah. That is, the Lord was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But because of 10 people, he didn't destroy them. Another point is this. I heard Pastor Kwaju teach this one many years ago when I was in Lagos. That what was crucial about the number 10, this was his own explanation. He said that the 10 was crucial for the generation of the redemptive righteousness that would begin to spread in their midst. That is, 10 was just not, it was not just a number that, okay, let us have 10. And then 10 can remain and preserve the place forever. That 10 was supposed to be the minimum number required so that righteousness can begin to spread. And when they found less than 10, God said simply, this place is now irredeemable. So what do? We take the ones we found and remove them. And then destroy the whole place. How does salt work? That's the point I'm making. Just by being present. I was listening to David Paulson. He said that, I don't know how he arrived at it, but he picked a certain percentage. Let me not repeat it so that people won't start spreading what they don't understand. So what David Paulson said, that this number he picked, that once it's below that, their presence is no longer enough to prevent decay from spreading on the earth. And he gave statistics to support his viewpoint that when the number of committed Christians amongst the MPs, members of parliament, in the UK dropped below a particular number, the abortion bill was introduced and it passed. Day before yesterday, was it yesterday? yesterday, United States of America legalized homosexual marriages nationwide. By then, actually, it was a split vote, 4-4. Four justices said yes, four said no, so they needed one. So that guy was now the one who made up his mind. Let me give it to the people who said yes. So as at yesterday, nationwide, in the United States of America, homosexual marriages is now legal. I like what David Paulson said when I was listening to him on one message some time ago. He said, homosexuality does not annoy God. It's not the reason why God is angry. He said, it's a sign that he's angry. Until I heard him, even though it's so clear from the scriptures, I didn't even tie it like that. He showed from Romans chapter 1 that because they were not thankful and they did not give thanks, they did not recognize God, he gave them over to depravity of their minds. Then they became homosexuals, became transgenders. They began to do things that didn't make sense, that a child can look and tell you, this is out of order. A whole president, we congratulate a man that's 60 years plus. A whole president of the strongest, most powerful, richest nation on this earth as of today. A man who is in his 60s says, I'm no longer a man, I'm now a woman. And you congratulate him, the society is mad. One Catholic priest, a reverend father, said, the money you use for doing what they call gender reassignment surgery, why don't you give it to a psychiatrist? That money shouldn't go to a surgeon. The money should go to a psychiatrist. Yeah, no, think about it. A man is 60 years old. He ran Olympics, won a medal as a man. Then many years later, and all of us know that the man is lying. This man is married to Kim Kardashian's mother. Kim Kardashian's family thrives on publicity. The girl became famous because she made a sex tape and put and leaked it. This is a family that thrives on foolishness. The same family, this man married this girl's mother and then said, I'm no longer a man, I am now a woman. What does that tell you? It is pure attention seeking. The man says, me too, I need to be notorious. I have to be talked about. I remember the story of this man. What is his name? Babyface Nelson. An armed robber in America. He wanted only one thing, to be christened public enemy number one. I don't know whether I get the point. He was no longer robbing banks to make money. He wanted to rob enough banks so that one day he will hear on the news that I am now the most famous, notorious criminal in the United States of America. And the day the news said, Babyface Nelson is now public enemy number one, his girlfriend hugged him. The gang was congratulating him. This is common sense. You can see that this cackling of a clown does not believe these things. He just wants to be known. Yet, Barack Obama, that guy is worse than Jeroboam. I regret that I rejoiced the day he won the election. God should have done us one better and found a human being as a black man to make American president. As a president, you don't have to say anything. Just shut up. Mark my words. Violence will increase in America. They think they've seen mass shooting. People will release poisonous gas on a train one day. Just watch it. David Paulson said, it is not the homosexuality that's annoying God. It is a sign that he's already angry. Now, why did I go into all of that? To bring out an issue that the salt around there has lost its savor. That's the only explanation. Not only, I like one thing David Paulson said, that salt does not only have to be good, it has to be present. Yes, that's one statement he made I should have quoted earlier. It has to be present in the appropriate quantity. The decadence in a society is a sign that the salt is either not good or it's not enough. That's my explanation. The decadence reflects that salt is either not good or is not enough. Remember, I said there are two ways we spread the kingdom of God. I quickly dispense of the active way, but the main one I'm talking about is the passive way. What is the passive way? It is just your physical presence. You act as a salt in the society. Two things there. One, you prevent decay from spreading. All the things we are looking at now and criticizing, I'm talking so vehemently about, they can happen anywhere. Did you hear what I said? You may think, in Nigeria, it can never happen. Forget it. If the pastors keep preaching the lies they are preaching, it will happen one day. Anyway, they can't continue preaching that one. Because we're already praying against it. If the Christians don't behave right, Jesus said the salt will have lost its savor or its saltness.